Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Yeah. Ghetto children singing. See, they eager to learn how to become the next world leaders. Brave hearts. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Book one, strategy, tactics, techniques. Look dumb, but massively notice the weakness in all them. Gotta use it only if necessary. Homie, vestige is very real if enemies carrying heavy steel. Beware the thugs who ain't scared of blood or jail time. When Aryan nations ain't having integration, we so blind of beauty of life. But when my mom said again, you could be Christ. I wasn't old enough to hold my D&P right. Jesus, what is he like? I picture him standing with diamonds on him, little different from the way my mommy saw him. Practice your aiming, physical training and difficult terraining. Test your endurance, try to keep your stamina banging, splitting duchess up, strap up. The army's a school, teaching smart ways to go. I'm thinking Gandhi was a fool, the chronic's a fool. Got me thinking out loud. Sleep on my drunkenness, I blow your brains out. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
My revolution is as real as Bobby Seals I build. With dudes and Chris worth a quarter mil and Dick's Hill. For fish scales, the cops love. The time come, I mask up and get my comrade off the bus. Up the beef, I snatch a seed from Chuck E. Cheese and feed them to the rats in the back of the peas. Black fatigue and off the scenes on a sofa. 50-inch flat screen, Louis Vuitton holsters. My motions don't appeal to appellate division. I did it strong for 7 long years in prison. Of the system, I'm like a modern-day Hitler. A black gorilla, crib and blood and one only. Just know my face, I be the case. But the wish at the police, they'll get the name Lake. Go simultaneously with street revolution. 21 gun salute, the new Huey
Newton. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Teach our woman how to hold a family down in case something happens to us fathers. Protect the children, grab revolvers. The woman plays an important part of our life force. Of what we fight for, my heart goes to you beautiful wife in war.
Enlist and more and talk less. Watch all and trust none. Demand your respect and be ready to die for what you believe in. And ride all the time, not just when convenient.
Justice and freedom, wisdom and understanding. We the lost children of Israel in this Western world region. You ain't a man, you a coward if you can't support the girl you put a seed in.
Strong rule the weak, but the wise rule the strong. It's more to a war than just getting it on. Seal your form, cover your tracks, stay prepared. I don't care, no one's spared.
Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. The struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer, right?
Yes.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson, sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today.
Hey,
my arms.
Starring Gary Dordan from TVCSI.
This is the military, David.
Free the land. Rebel Shagri. West of Yosef Salamu. I'm your host, Bumai Shakir. I'm your host, Bumai Shakir. Enjoy the Universal Radio, where our goals are fivefold. Our first goal is to eradicate functional literacy among new African prisoners. Our second goal is to eradicate cultural ignorance among new African prisoners. Our third goal is to transform the criminal mentality to the new African mentality. The fourth goal is to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of the new African communities. Our fifth goal is to prepare a new African prisoner for release, reduce new African recidivism. Before I bring in our special guest tonight, I'd like to go over a couple of events that happened in history during this week. Okay. On August 15th, 1843, the National Black Convention met at Buffalo, New York, with approximately 70 delegates from 12 states. The highlight of the convention was a steering address by Henry Hyland Garnett, a 27-year-old Presbyterian pastor who called for a slave revolt and a general slave strike. Amos G. Beeman, a New Haven, Connecticut, was elected president of the convention. In 1900, race riots erupt in New York City after a white New York City policeman is killed during a fight with a black man of African heritage. In 1962, Shady Grove Baptist Church was burned in Leesburg, Georgia. In 1988, the Bishop College of Dallas was closed. August 16, 1768, Charlestown, South Carolina, rebellious African slave known as Maroons. 1890, Alexander Clark, journalist and lawyer, named Minister to Liberia. In 1906, from the 16th through the 19th, the second annual meeting of the Niagara Movement took place in Harper Ferry, West Virginia, the site of John Brown's martyrdom. In 1965, the urban revolt took place in northern Philadelphia. In 1972, Reverend Philip A. Porter, a black minister of Dominica, named Secretary of the World Council of Churches. In 1987, historian Charles W. Wesley, former president of Wilberforce and Central State University, died in Washington, D.C. at the age of 95. August 17, 1887, witnessed the birth of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, the father of African nationalism, the founder of the University Negro Freedom Association, had the biggest new African organization ever in history with over 11 million followers. The brother established the provisional government University Negro Freedom Association. Knows that he inspired many to become Garveyites, then inspired many to be Malcolmites, and inspired many in the culture, in the struggle, as well as various movements. In 1993, Robert Maynard, the first black editor and owner of a major white daily newspaper, the Oakland Tribune, died in Oakland, California, at the age of 56. In 1995, political prisoner, former Black Panther and Movement Family member, Muhammad Abdul-Jamal, was scheduled for execution. It was stopped by the International People Resistance. On today's date, the Capitol Republic New Alpha, the Capitol Britain Republic New Alpha was attacked by the FBI and Mississippi Police, what came to be known as the RNA-11 case. In 1976, Vice Admiral Samuel L. Gravely Jr. assumed command of the U.S. Third Fleet. In 1990, entertainer Pearl Bailey died in Philadelphia at the age of 72. In 2010, UNACL, United Negro Food Association, African Community League, had the 53rd International Convention held in Washington, D.C. And also that took place today in 2021, Mama Tamu S. Kayama of the RNL-11 released her book, The 1148 Lewis Street, which was the place where the attack took place at the RNL-11. And you can find her book on the website, Us Living Us, which is a website, the movement of herself and her husband, Baba Ikimo, are part of, which is a new African Ujamaa organization, new African Ujamaa collective.
Okay.
And August 19, 1791, Benjamin Banneker wrote a letter to Thomas Jefferson, who was then the Secretary of State. Ask him to remember the words he wrote in Declaration of Independence and the slavery and oppression that contradicted the word. Look back, he said, I entreat you. There was a time, he said, when you were then impressed with proper ideas of the great violation of liberty and the free possession of those blessings. to which you were entitled by nature. But, sir, how pitiable it is to reflect that although you were so fully convinced of the benevolence of the Father of mankind, and as an equal and impartial distribution of these rights and privileges, which he has conferred upon them, that you shall at the same time counteract his mercy and attain it by fraud and violence. So numerous a part of my brother under grown captivity and cruel oppression, that you should at the same time be found guilty of that most criminal act which you professly detesting others with respect to yourself.
Okay.
In 1862, New York Tribune editor Horace Greeley published a letter asking Lincoln to free the slaves by enforcing the laws of the United States, most notably the Second Confiscation Act. 1864, Frederick Douglass visited Whitehall for the second time at the invitation of the president,
who was aware of Douglass' opposition to his campaign for a second term. And what some critics have called a political stratagem, he asked Douglass to confer with other black leaders and to draft a proposal to use squads to bring additional blacks out of the South. This disturbed Douglass, who told his associates that the proposal seemed to indicate that Lincoln believed the war might end with mostly blacks still in slavery. Douglass dropped a proposal, but Lincoln ignored it.
Okay. 1884, M.C. Harvard patent the land. 1954, Ralph J. Bunche, a name undersecretary of the United States. In 1958, members of the NAACP Youth Council began a series of sittings at Oklahoma Civil Lunch Counters. In 1967 through 1924, comparative a large-scale urban slave revolt was launched in New Haven, Connecticut. On August 20, 1619, first captive African were brought to the English North American colony of Jamestown, Virginia. 21 captive African were brought as indentured slaves, and 4 years later became slaves that were legalized by the United States government at that time, or the colonies at that time, so to speak, it became the United States government. 1862, African American Newtown and other localities held mass meetings to protest Lincoln colonization proposal. 1964, President Lyndon B. Johnson signed Economic Opportunity Act, inaugurating what was called the War on Poverty. In 1993, Dr. David Salter, former president of Meharry Medical College, became the first black director of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. On August 21st, 1791, the Haitian Revolution began. The Haitian Revolution began last August, January 1st, 1804, when Haiti gained independence, becoming the first new African nation in the West Africa to gain independence. 1831, a slave revolt was launched under the leadership of Nat Turner, which lasted 4 days and resulted in 51 slaveholders and their loved ones being subjected to revolutionary people justice, which had been murder. 1858, in the first encounter of the Lincoln-Douglas debate, Lincoln opposed equal rights and said the Negro was not his equal in many respects, certainly not in color. Perhaps not in moral and intellectual endowment. 1971, Conrad George, one of the political prisoners known as the Solidarity Brother, was killed in an alleged escape attempt from the Catalan prison of San Quentin. Autopsy report via that he was shot in the back. Okay. In 2016, Michael Duncan, elected President General of the government of UNIA in Queens, New York, at his 59th International Convention. Okay. I know there's a lot of more events happening in history with it, but we're going to end right there. Like I said, revolution agreed to all those identify a revolution. Free land dollars, those that identify with independence, identify with land. I want to salute all the ones who've been following our broadcast since 2014. I want to salute the ones who are currently educating and aspiring to do things in the community and from a proper perspective and also who are currently educating themselves on our level. You know, and I welcome to the show tonight, Elder Abdul Olugbenga Shakir. How you doing, good brother? You doing, Conrad? I do.
Just call him again.
Okay, I hear you, Conrad. While you're waiting on the Conrad, I'm going to play something with Conrad George said. I'm like, while you're waiting on the Conrad. Matter of fact, I'm playing a little bit of recording of what Elder Kamasi was saying, which is knowing the black all his story. And to the comrade, able to come back on.
Give the audience the kind of information they need to know about the prison movement in Black August. And I'm speaking from my own personal experience. In other words, the credentials come from, because I'm not talking about anything that I've heard or read about, but this is what I myself have gone through and I'm still focused on. And if we're going to talk about Black August, then since I am considered a Black August historian, then my obligation first is to give some history. And before I talk about Black August, I want to talk about the prison movement,
okay,
and its content and its membership and its history before we get into Black August, because that will tell you why Black August. And roughly, I want to say that starting back as far as your mid-50s,
mm-hmm,
going into the mid-50s, when Malcolm was your lead spokesman and representative for the Nation of Islam, you had black prisoners in every prison in the country who were either part of the Nation of Islam or,
mm-hmm,
like, I met a cat in 1964 named Dice. I met him in San Diego. And he told me he had come out of Sing Sing, and when he was in Sing Sing, he was involved with the School of African Nationalism.
Mm-hmm.
He's the first guy I ever heard speak Swahili.
Mm-hmm.
I said, School of African Nationalism, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
And then he told me that was one of the groups that was inside Sing Sing, and he,
mm-hmm,
told me you had Malcolm Muslims, Elijah Muslims, he had the African Nationalists. Later on in Quentin, I met a cat that called himself an African Zionist, and he come out of that.
Like Hebrew Israelite movement?
I don't know about that, but he said African Zionist, and it wasn't a Hebrew Israelite movement. It was,
uh-huh,
he was an African Zionist.
Returning back to Africa.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was an African patriot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there were a lot of study groups, and these,
mm-hmm,
study groups developed schools of thought.
Mm-hmm.
Those schools of thought developed cadres. Those cadres developed their own movements. So they had their own way of educating each other one-on-one,
mm-hmm,
each one teach one, then developing a study group, school of thought, and a regimented, group of people who would carry on this whole line of thinking, teaching, building on the concept, and then getting people involved in doing something,
mm-hmm.
okay, about it. So you were either going to make your contribution and your commitment as an African patriot to the African continent,
mm-hmm.
okay, or you were going to work throughout the diaspora,
mm-hmm.
okay, you were either going to focus here in this country, or maybe you would go to any other country where our community was, and then you were going to make your commitment there. But you had to find out how to give more than just a lip service, you know. So we were taking up trades and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and we said we would specialize in a trade so that we can get out, and as a tradesman, you could take that trade back into your community wherever you were, either in Africa or here in this country, or if you decided to go into the Caribbean or go into Latin America and find the African community there, but you had to make some kind of a contribution. So if
mm-hmm.
you're going to help build some kind of an economy there,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to help try to build some kind of an infrastructure there,
mm-hmm.
you see what I'm saying? You're going to take whatever skills were necessary that we called nation-building skills,
mm-hmm.
because just sticking your fist in the air was not enough.
Mm-hmm.
People had to have nation-building skills in order to find themselves welcome someplace else, or you were just a surplus human body that had to be taken care of, and really you was a nuisance.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were serious. We weren't really interested in building cadres that could support national networks or community networks. We
mm-hmm.
were trying to build national leadership. We saw ourselves as being the ones who would take over some kind of authority position and take the responsibility of actually serving the needs and organizing and moving an entire nation of people forward. And we were following the likes of people like Lumumba,
mm-hmm.
okay, and Kenyatta, and Ben Bella,
mm-hmm.
and Nkrumah,
mm-hmm.
and Sekou Touré. You
mm-hmm.
see what I'm saying? Followed them closely and stuff. These guys weren't a lot older than we were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Gaddafi became the leader of Libya, he
mm-hmm.
was only, what, 4 or 5 years older than us. So he was
mm-hmm.
still a young man. He was only about 28 years old.
Mm-hmm.
We were in our 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't see that this was unlikely for us
mm-hmm.
to have the same kind of responsibility. So we had to train ourselves as tradesmen. We had to train ourselves as organizers. We had to train ourselves as statesmen and be
mm-hmm.
able to speak and act as a statesman and understand the responsibilities of statehood.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? If you're going to talk about independent
mm-hmm.
nations, you're going to have to act like a free man, an independent man.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't stay on your knees and come as a beggar to the rest of the world. And if you're going to sit at a table anywhere in the world where decisions are being made about your people,
mm-hmm.
then you want to sit there at least as an equal. So you've
mm-hmm.
got to have an equal kind of skills
mm-hmm.
to share in an equal kind of responsibility. And this is where we were coming from with inside the prisons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so this is how we were thinking, and this is what we were training ourselves to be, those kind of individuals. This was not a game with us.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't about publicity, and it wasn't about just some kind of fad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were deadly serious about this, ready to give our all for this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, in the 50s, the main focus was on religious freedoms, because
yeah.
Islam was considered not a true religion. When I stepped into Tracy in 1966,
mm-hmm.
you know, was told that Muslims were contraband. And so if you wanted to practice any kind of spiritual
mm-hmm.
development, okay, you couldn't get any kind of instruction. You weren't allowed to have a Quran. You weren't allowed to have a prayer rug or a kufi or a place to meet. You could
mm-hmm.
only go to religious services in a Catholic or a Protestant chapel inside the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And they would not open up any areas. So we used to take over the libraries. We would send brothers in to take over the tables and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would have the minister, assistant minister, secretary, and the captain's table.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the lieutenants would have tables, and then squad leaders would take the information and everything that was sent down from the brass table, from the minister's table, and then they would dispense that information to the rank and files and
mm-hmm.
stuff. And
mm-hmm.
so we did it on a very orderly level.
Mm-hmm.
So Muslims fought for religious rights.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant that everybody from the early 1950s until 1968 who came into prison and joined the Nation of Islam, each individual filed a $6 million lawsuit against the state of California
each
for denying
individual?
Every individual. So you got a religious rights movement because
mm-hmm.
you're doing something about
yes,
it.
Yes, sir.
You're building a machine that's going to bring about a desired result. So
almost
every
like a class
individual
action, huh? yeah.
put together, yes, every individual filed a class action lawsuit
mm-hmm.
against the state of California,
mm-hmm.
naming the governor and everybody that worked under him, which meant the director of the Department of Corrections, his assistant, all the way down to the warden and every prison guard in the state of California that were responsible for suppressing and denying your right to practice your freedom of religion. In 1968, it was, and everybody filed for $6 million. Okay, so you demanded $6 million, okay? In 1968, the Supreme Court of the land ruled that Islam is the true religion. Okay, and from that day forward, they started allowing Muslim ministers, if they were from the nation, or imams, okay, or anybody else that was someone who would officiate a religious service, okay, in the Islamic community, allowed them to come into the prisons, okay, to officiate over the services. From that day forward, Muslims or anybody who wanted to take up Islam was allowed to have a Quran, a prayer rug, a kufi, and at the same time to observe Ramadan and even the dietary rules of your religion. Prior to that, they tried to force Muslims to eat pork.
I remember that.
They used to put us in the hole and stuff. We used to learn how to fast for 30 days. We would eat toilet paper and wash it down with coffee just to keep our intestines running. Okay.
Okay. At this time, I would like to welcome to the show, El Adu Lugabai Secure. Your line is up, good brother. How you doing?
All right, my brother. Where's your ghost? Your slamu.
Yes, sir. Where's your slamu to you, brother? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother, how you doing, your brother? Tell the people about yourself when we get this thing started, man.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, Conrad. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, okay. And make sure. You say something for money?
Nah. What I said, Conrad, go ahead and tell people a little about yourself when we get this thing popping, man.
Oh, okay.
Go and tell a little about yourself, who you are, man. Go and take off, man.
Oh, man, you know.
Go ahead and shout now, hey, Conrad.
No, it's not about chicken out. It's not really about shy, right? I'm a revolutionary, so it really ain't about me, right? In terms of we serve as a vehicle in the service of our people, right? And we try not to make it about us, right? It's about us as a collective body. It's more than just one individual involved in this struggle. And we tend to forget that. We tend to make ourselves as the trophy, and it's not the trophy. It's always about the people. It's never about the revolutionary. It's all about the people. We're here committed and dedicated to fighting for them. I am their soldier. I am the tools in their hands, you know? So that's why I'm saying it's not, you know, that's why I don't get caught up in myself, right? Because it's not even about me, you know? Because even when I physically died, the struggle continued. The revolutionary, it never died. The revolution never died, you know? So, and most of you already know who I am, so that's, we just go and get to the facts, Bomani. Comrade.
Okay. Yeah, so Conrad. Well, one of the things I want to ask you about, right, is I know during Black August, it's all be persecution, pressure, agitation, in regard to GDAU, right, from the inside, whether the outside, right. You know what I'm saying? Could you add on about that? You know what I'm saying? Why is that so? And you know, what are some of the things that have occurred? To give people a little awareness about the situation.
Yeah. See, it goes back. You know, one of the things they've always tried to do in California, they try to erase Comrade George, Qatari, Johnson, William Christen. They try to erase them, W. Nolan, from our history, right? So what they've done, they made it criminal. So at a time, you get a book by George Jackson, you read that book, you can get a life sentence in the hole for that. You even mentioned Black August, you get a life sentence in the hole for that. And then if you write about it, they can ban you. They banned me for 5 years from writing to the streets because I wouldn't stop talking about George, Black August, or the George Jackson University. So they banned me. And like I say, there's other things that they do. Like one time during the month of August, they assigned me to a yard that had nothing but Aryan Brotherhood on it, neo-Nazi. You know, same crackers George was fighting back in the days, racist, you know. So they put me in the yard by myself with 24 of them, hoping that they'll kill me. You know, so those are some of the things they do to try to discourage you. But the other brothers in general, when they see how we was being persecuted for pushing Black August, pushing our history, pushing revolution, many of them, and the dogs were successful at this, pushed them all the way out. They won't even mention Black August to this day. outside of our collective, the guerrilla movement, they would not mention Black August in California. Many of them would not even read the book Blood in My Eyes, because at one time, Blood in My Eyes was a life sentence in the hole. Many of us, I did almost 33 years in isolation, and most of that was a direct result of the fact that I refused to abandon the struggle, that I refused to stop talking about Black August and the revolution and about the George Jackson University. You know, and that's just some of the examples, right? Because understand the goal, what George represented, what Qatar represented. It represented resistance, the transformation of the criminal mind to a new African revolutionary mind. W. Nolan was that ultimate example. So they're trying to kill these examples, because one of the things they want to do in order to exploit the conditions of our community, they must maintain the criminal mindset. So they feed and reward the criminal mentality. See, if you was in here talking about gang stuff, killing other brothers, you'd be rewarded by that. You go to general population, get the opportunities we can't get. When you start talking about coming together and going after the pigs and those who are like the oppressor, your ass going to the hole, and you're going to be persecuted, and you're going to face everything that is designed to break your spirit. And to this day, you'll see the reflection of that, because the majority of brothers in California won't even speak on the struggle. And they look at us like we bad. Let me say this here, too. I want to take this opportunity, too, comrade, to speak on parts of the history of Black August, right? And I think people need to understand. One of the reasons why Black August is off course today, because we was in isolation. Those of us who was the creators, cultivators, and inventors and developers of Black August and Black August Organizing Committee, we all was in the hole, in isolation. We couldn't speak about it. We couldn't send no letters out, nothing. They were stopped us and banned us from corresponding to the streets. So oftentimes, people out there got little bits and pieces of what Black August was. And that's why it's in the shape that it's in now. The original idea came in 78, but it started to become functional in 79. Our sister comrade, Kashefu, did a radio show at KPFA in 79 to announce the existence of Black August. Now, one of the things, again, I try to explain to a lot of comrades, this is not about the individual. No individual created Black August. Our organization created Black August. Black August wasn't born in 1 year. It wasn't born and matured in 1979. It took a number of years to mature, because each year we sent certain ideals through the crucibles. We test certain ideas. We add to it. We took some from it. So from 79 to about 84, that's when it reaches mature stage. But it took years to get to that maturity. So we don't say, well, so-and-so did this. Our organization in San Quentin AC started this. Our organization in Soledad and Tracy and Folsom, but San Quentin was the primary source and leading cadre that contributed towards the growth and development of Black August. So when people ask what individual came with the idea, we don't say that individual. We say it was a collective effort. So that one person that did come with the idea did not contribute towards the 4 or 5 years of the development of BA. You know, so I want to get that out there. It was a contribution of many brothers and sisters, both in and out of prison, comrades. You know, we had sisters like Adama, Kashefu, and others, Ayana, you know, these sisters, McKinney. These sisters out there contribute a lot to maintaining the spirit of Black August. Now, one thing I want people to understand, too, Black August is called Black August Memorial. It is a memorial. We commemorize those who died in the struggle. We ain't talking about those who was advocating peaceful resistance and got shot. We ain't talking about those who did some marching or those who died of natural causes. People got that backwards. Black August Memorial commemorates those who died with their gun in their hand, who died with their flag in their hand, who made an ultimate sacrifice in the service of our people, who stood on the front line that was willing to die and kill for this. That's what Black August Memorial represents. That's who we commemorate. But being that a lot of people on the streets didn't have the protocols, people start adding their own comrades and other people to Black August Memorial. And that's right now you see Black August Memorial is being disfigured because the protocols and rules and guidelines have been thrown out the window. Remember, this is a culture of resistance. There's two aspects of Black August Memorial and Black August Resistance. Black August Memorial is those who died with that gun in their hand or their flat. When I say flat, I'm saying knife. like Comrade George Kataris. And the only reason why we chose August is because three of our comrades, three events that led to the assassination of our comrades took place in August. The first was Kataris, known as the Black Dragon. He was Comrade George's successor. The seventh was William Crispin, James McClain, Jonathan Jackson in the courthouse in Marin. And then the 21st, Comrade George was assassinated. The 13th originally took place in January in Soledad. That's when W. Nolan was assassinated, along with Alvin Miller and Cleveland Edwards. That's why we have the 13th. Those were the reason why we chose the month of August, because as far as our organization is concerned and the guerrilla movement, many of our leaders was assassinated and murdered by the pigs during that month. So a lot of people took that as, okay, if any event took place in August, we can put that under Black August. That's not true. Those individuals must have died. Nat Turner died for the struggle. He was participating directly in the armed struggle. Black August is not a peaceful resistance memorial. Black August is not can we all get along memorial. Black August is straight revolutionary, armed struggle. And that's where the resistance comes from. Because that's the aspect that was deep. A lot of our people don't understand that we got a long history of resistance. Many people only heard about Nat Turner, but you had Demar Vesey, Martin Delaney, Davey Walker. The list is long. Even Harriet Tubman. When they were teaching people about Harriet Tubman in school, they taught her as some docile, passive. No, that's just had a gun and a rifle. And she told certain slaves, if you don't leave, I'm going to kill you. And she got the guns off. I mean, a lot of people don't know that she was a general as well. But they didn't teach you that in school because they wanted teachers to be passive and submissive. That's one of the reasons why Black August was born, too. To show that we have a long history of fighting, not submitting, not capitulating, but fighting. And Black August during that month was specifically designed to bring that warrior out of our sisters and brothers. That's what that's designed for. Not no protest, no peaceful test to Washington, none of that. But it got disfigured. You know, Black August was a month where we restore our spirit, restore our physical, restore our mind, you know, in the service of our revolution. Comrade?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm here. I'm here, comrade. Okay. One thing I want to ask in regards to all this, right? You know, every many times that we see people talking about Comrade George as a Panther, and also trying to like basically steal him from the history of the prison movement and put him in place of Panther, right? You know, and what are actually your thoughts on that situation in regards to where he belonged in history? What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, now, when Elaine Brown first wrote a book, A Taste of Power, this is when we really start to focus on this. Because Elaine Brown wrote she has statements in the book saying that the guerrilla movement didn't pop up until after the death of Comrade George. And we started claiming Comrade George. And that's when I went after her. She never responded because she knew she was wrong. First of all, I tell people, you listen to George's own mouth. Don't listen to Elaine Brown and anybody else. When you read prison letters, one of the statements Comrade George made when he said that the people that was responsible for his transformation from a criminal to revolutionary was who? The Black guerrillas. And he named some of them, Big Jake, W.L. Northern, William Christmas, Tony Gibson, and others. That same quote is at the beginning of the book, Blood in My Eye. If you go back and look at George's interviews, one of the things he said, long live the Black guerrillas. Even the pigs knew the Black guerrillas existed in the 60s. It did not pop up after the death and assassination of Comrade George. That's not true. So another thing I point to people's attention, when W. Nolan got assassinated, he was a Black guerrilla. No question about that. Young Cleve, Black guerrilla. Jug Miller, Black guerrilla. George was accused now of allegedly retaliating on behalf of a Black guerrilla. The two brothers, John Clichette and Flip Drumgo, that was charged with George, Black guerrilla. Jonathan Jackson, who walked in that courtroom with them guns. Those were not Black Panthers in that courtroom. William Crispin, James McClain, Black guerrilla. When you look at the incident, the day where Comrade George got assassinated, all the brothers, for the most part, they got charged, and those who were uncharged, with the exception of Johnny Spain, black guerrillas. One reason why I point this out, I'm not saying that George wasn't a Panther. I'm saying that George's connection to the black family is obvious and clear. We did not snatch George. George was up. When you look at James Carr, read his book, Bad. He was a black guerrilla, and he was Comrade George's general of the People's Army. The People's Army is the black guerrilla. When James Carr got out, he was instructed to start the black guerrilla formation, the People's Army. Every comrade that left that prison was not reported, was not instructed to report to the Black Panther Party. They were reported, they were instructed to report to the black guerrillas, the People's Army, which was James Carr. So there's a history, a long documented history. Was George a Panther? Yes. When Huey came to prison, he was in CMC, and he heard about George. But George's already name was already out there, and he sent George a letter asking that, do you want to be a member of the Black Panther Party? And George said, yeah. But that did not dissociate George from his guerrilla affiliation. And all you have to do is look at the history. And I don't say this, and I don't say this in a negative way. I was just trying to like explain to Elaine that if you look at the history, George was connected to the black guerrilla. George ain't never killed on behalf of the Black Panther Party. George ain't never went in a courtroom to liberate Black Panther. That's not an attack on the Panther. That's how I grew up in the Panther Party. This is showing people that there is a clear connection that Comrade George was our comrade. And he never stopped being our comrade. And all you have to do, that everything he sacrificed, even his little brother, was for black guerrillas. Those were not Black Panthers in that courtroom. W. Nolan was not a Panther. Young Cleve and Alvin was not a Panther. John Cachette Fleeter was not a Panther. Dave, who was known as Jap, William Tate, Fleeter, part of the San Quentin Six, Yogi. Yogi was also a black guerrilla. Now, another issue I want to present is this here. When Yogi got assassinated a couple years ago, all of a sudden people started saying Yogi was brown. But this is how people, when they try to control the narrative, they're trying to control history. And I tell people, look at Yogi's own writing. Yogi, yes, he's from Nicaragua. But the part of Nicaragua he's from is south of Nicaragua, which is predominantly black. There's no time in history that Yogi ever called himself brown. Read his writings and listen to what he said. I'm black, and I'm for my people. That is a concrete fact. It's documented. When people control the narrative, they're trying to change history for whatever purpose. And that's what they did with Comrade George. All we're trying to do is correct history. We're not trying to say he wasn't a Panther, because he was a Black Panther. And he was serious about the Black Panthers. But remember, in all his writings, George speaks about the People's Army and building the People's Army. And we ask people, what you think the People's Army is? All you have to do is read his own writing. Read his own writing. Who you want to listen to, George or other people trying to tell you what George was saying? George is clear. I'm a black guerrilla. Long live the black guerrilla. Almost every major sacrifice and event that took place up to the time George was assassinated, black guerrillas. Remember, George also started the black family with James Carr. The name of the group is called Black Guerrilla Family for a reason. After the death of George, what took place is the combination. They combined these groups. Black guerrilla, black family, black mob. They combined these groups to make the black guerrilla family. Now, that took place after the death of Comrade George. But the black guerrillas, which was the source and the seed to the movement, existed in the early 60s. And you remember when George mentioned some of the names at the end of the book of Blood in My Eyes, Ulysses Daniels, Death Row Jeff. These comrades been in prison since the 40s and 50s. Howard Toll. These are comrades that was active in the struggle way before George. When George first came to prison, he was a gangster, a thug. It was kind of like W. Nolan, Howard Toll, Colin Mumba, and others that influenced George, Tony Gibson, Big J. These was all black guerrillas. They didn't want to influence George to eradicate and relinquish his criminal mentality. That is a documented fact. We don't need to hijack and make stuff up. You know, but a lot of people, because it came from Elaine Brown, they didn't, well, I'm not going to do my research. I'm going to listen to Lane Brown. But there are facts that you have to look at, facts that you can't challenge. You cannot challenge these facts. So they document it. And like I say, just look at the incidents that Comrade George was involved in and his little brother. All of them individuals black gorillas. Only Johnny Spain was the only Black Panther that was involved, and he really wasn't involved. He ran outside the door trying to stop George. And we only do this to correct history. And that's all we do. We ain't trying to attack, like I said, many of us are ex-Panthers or Panther Cubs. A lot of Panthers in prison became part of the Black Gorilla Movement. So we part of it. We grew up. Some of us became BLA. So there's no separation between us and the Black Panther Party or the Black Liberation Army. Some of us became part of the Black Gorilla Movement while in prison. So there's no separation. We just want to make clear that Comrade George is our comrade. He is us before he was anything else. All right, Bumani.
Okay. Okay. That was a good answer, man. Good response in regards to the situation. In regards to Georgia University, right? How did Georgia University fit into the scheme in regards to Black August and also the preservation of the Black prison movement, New African prison struggle?
Okay. Around 1999, in the middle 90s, Baba Donald Evans, right? He had programs out there that were designed to transform New African prisoners from a criminal mentality to a revolution mentality. When I was in Pelican Bay during the early years, I had a program, an institution that I called the New African Institute for Criminology 101, which was specifically designed to eradicate the criminal mentality and resolve the conflicts that exist in our community as well as the crime in our community. We met about 99. In 2000, we came together and said, let's create a bigger program. And at the time, it was called University of the Mind. But then I said, check this out, man. A lot of prisoners are not going to be attracted to that title. But we call it the George Jackson University, because remember, back in the day, George said, the prison is our revolutionary university. Qatari said, this is our university. W. Nolan said, this is our university. So let's not make this our university. Let's not transform the whole entire prison industrial slave complex to a university in the service of our people. When we first came out, we had over 30,000. We had over 30,000 enrolled students. A couple of things took place. They banned me from corresponding with Baba Evans. They banned Baba Evans from corresponding with me. Then one of our headquarters down there in Los Angeles got burned mysteriously, got burned down. And then they tried to criminalize Baba Evans as a gang member. Man, they never been to prison. He's been active in the struggle since the 40s, consistently. But they criminalized him and me because they understood the importance of the George Jackson University, not just as a tool for educating people, but as a source for revolution and development. So one thing they did when they criminalized the GJU, like they did with Black August, a whole lot of brothers start backing up because they seen what was being done to us. When they banned me from corresponding for 5 years with my wife or everybody, a lot of brothers that wasn't my comrade stepped all the way back because that they didn't want. It worked for a minute, right? But you had other comrades out there that took on the torch. You know, Comrade Bomani is one of them. Emalimu Shakur is another one. Kalaika is one of them. There's many others who took on the torch, right? Because we could no longer correspond to the streets on behalf of the George Jackson University. Because they understand the significance of it. The George Jackson University, because they'll say, well, it's not a university. It is a university. It's a university of revolution and development, revolutionary theories and ideas. You see what I'm saying? It's directly linked and connected to the Black August. It's inside of Black August. It's a platform that we use to educate our people and to facilitate the transformation. When we say about Black August, we say Black August is also designed to transform the criminal mindset. GJU is the tool by which we facilitate that objective. The GJU open classes. This is what we tell people. And I tell a lot of brothers and sisters this. My cell is my classroom. My cell is my think tank. My cell is my gym. They said it's a cell, but this is my school. This is my classroom. This is where I study on behalf of my people. This is where I think of ideas and develop plans and solutions for my people. We transform ourselves to GJU room. So, again, we're trying to produce a new African Revolution mentality. Instead of being paroled from prison, you're being graduated from the George Jackson University, specifically designed to join the struggle out there and commit yourself to building our community. All right, Bomani.
True indeed. True indeed. True indeed. True indeed. This is a question that goes back to Black August, right? You talked about the different developments of Black August, different people that contributed, right? Now, if a person is new to Black August, what type of instruction will you guide him or her in regard to properly being a participant or properly being somebody who adheres to the principles? What would you actually tell them?
Okay. Yeah, see, the thing is, one of the things we did at the early stages, which, you know, was a learning process, right? We came out too hard, real hard. And it turned off a lot of people in prison. Not on the streets, the program I was on the streets was different. The program was on the streets was being organized by the Black August Organized Committee, which we also started. And that was the official organ, the official organization responsible for spreading Black August, teaching people about Black August, and organizing Black August Organized Committee chapters throughout the country. When we first came out, it was kind of hard, so it discouraged a lot of brothers and sisters from participating. But that was a learning curve for us. And I give you an example. We got these 4 days, what we call flea days, and I explain flea days in another platform, not this platform, right? But the flea days, like the 1st, 7th, 13th, 21st, the days our comrades got assassinated. So we devote 24 hours of non-eating nothing, but committed ourselves to self-discipline, right? And back in the days, what we did was we exercised every 4 hours. Doing that 24-hour fasting period, we exercised hard. Not no little, we exercised hard every 4 hours, right? And took a toll on our body. So we said, okay, we're going to move it to 6 hours. So we exercised every 6 hours, doing after the whole 24-hour day fast. We also, some of the younger ones, like myself at that time, we did 3 days fast. We did 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 7, 8, 9, 13, 14, 15, 21, 22, 23, right? But we're going too hard. And we ran off a lot of good people. We ran off a lot of good people, right? So that was a learning curve for us, right? And to the question is, because we experienced this learning curve, we had to make certain adjustments. Not everybody's on the same level of development, physically or mentally, right? In some sense, many of us were just being, you know, selfish, really, because we wasn't thinking about people in general, that not everybody can do what we did. So we had to step back and say, wait a minute, the program must be adjusted by those individuals' own level of physical skill, mental skill, what have you, wherever you're at in your development, right? So when a person say, hey, I want to be participating in Black August, we don't hit them with the whole program. If you're an individual, this is what we tell you to do. Fast, doing the whole 31 days. If you can do 2 hours, if you can do from morning to 4, whatever you can do, whatever your schedule allow you to do, because out there, people are working, going to school, they're doing all kinds of stuff involving activism, so the time is different. So this is what we tell the beginner to do. First of all, get all the facts about Black August and get it from a source that know about Black August. You know what I'm saying? Get it from the source so you can have the true teaching and education of what Black August is. Make that your study throughout that month. So Monday, we wouldn't, like I said, I explained to them about the 4 flea days, but I wasn't expecting to do that at that time. Just fast for 3 hours, 6 hours. Just do that first. If you don't feel like exercising, walk around the block 2-3 times every morning. Walk around the block 2-3 times every night. Just do that. Whatever you can do. Now, for those who are physically fit, then, of course, you're going to have a different program. But we're talking about beginners. Now, if they're physically fit, then we'll give them different programs. We want you to exercise every morning at 5 o'clock. Do whatever you do, right? And if you got time, read these books. We have a book list. Because we ain't going to tell you to read a coon book. We ain't going to tell you to read a book where, you know, it's passive or promoting passive or capitalism or can we all get along. We're going to tell you to read books by Nat Turner, Marcus Garvey, about Harriet Tubman, Comrade George Jackson, James Carr, Qatari. Martin Delaney. You know what I'm saying? We're going to suggest books that speak to our culture of resistance, right? And tell them to read that book. Now, if you got a family, then you have your family join you in that reading process. Read 5 pages a day or whatever and have a discussion on those days. Now, we'll also give you information about how it started and about the individuals that inspired. See, a lot of people think Comrade George assassination inspired Black August. It wasn't. It was the assassination of Qatari. He was assassinated by medical negligence. He sustained a head injury. Instead of sending him to the hospital, remember, Qatari was the successor of Comrade George, and they feared him just as much as they feared George. He sustained an injury in San Quentin on the Justin's Yard. Him and many of the comrades out there playing football. And one of the brothers went to tackle him. He hit his head against the wall, and there was a pipe sticking out the wall, and it went into his head. Now, he's hemorrhaging. He's bleeding from the inside. But these pigs left his body in AC for 1 hour, the adjustment center. Then they took him to the prison hospital and left him in there for 2 more hours. He's bleeding. Then when the ambulance finally came, they took him to the wrong hospital. They knew what hospital had the necessary equipment to treat the dragon. They took him to a hospital that had no brain scanners. They knew that hospital didn't have no brain scanner. So when they had to go back to the right hospital, by that time, he was dying. You know, so at that time, like I say, that when comrades in 78, because this happened August 1st, start thinking about the idea of commemorating Qatari. Then in 79 became functional. That's why at the beginning of Black August, it was none but Black guerrillas that was being commemorated and was focused on the organization itself. Then it started to expand outside of that into about like 83, 84, really because of the Black August Organizing Committee. They start to expand and introduce it, and you had a lot of brothers in prison embracing before anyone else, you know. But again, it's when you got beginners, you don't want to run them off. You don't want to discourage them, you know, and explain to them the whole purpose for this. It's not just the restoration of one physical being, but it's the restoration of one spiritual being. It has nothing to do with religion, right? And we want to instill with them this culture of resistance. Don't fear the oppressor. A lot of our people, they can talk all they talk, but they fear the oppressor. They have no problem fighting and killing their own, but when it's time to fight the enemy, all of a sudden, they got homework to do. So one thing we try to do during the month of Black August is instill with them our culture of resistance. And it's going to take stages of development. You know, so when you deal with someone that's just, it's like kindergarten. You start them off on that level. And then they go to elementary, then junior high, then high school, and go to college and get their master's degree in Black August. You know, so it takes place in stages. And it also depends on the individual, how advanced they are, you know. But you don't want to punch them in the face with it because then they're going to regurgitate it. But money?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. True indeed. True indeed. Man, you know, it's something that y'all will be mentioning all the time. Could you explain... then my last question, after my question, I'm opening the line up for a couple of callers, right? Can you explain to us what do you mean by the signs of revolution? What does that look like? You know, what does that actually look like? You know, how is it applicable?
See, this is the mistake people are making to this day. The struggle has an exact sign. You can't get around that. Comrade George speak about it, Marcus Garvey, Robert Williams. You can't get around it. Even if they didn't speak about it, it is inherent in stages of development. It's a science. And say, like, right now, you got people in these different organizations and movements lack the political maturity to identify what constructive criticism is. Because when you criticize them, they take it emotional, and they want to attack you because you criticize them. Like, who in the hell is you? You know? And that shows you that they don't understand the process of scientific development and the purpose of constructive criticism. Give you another example. We know back in the late 60s and early 70s, the Black Panther Party, the original party, made a lot of mistakes. None of them are going to deny this. None of them will deny this. Many of them will tell you that. And I give you another example about the mistake. And when you look at back in the days, 99% of the funds that came to the Panthers from outside, mainly from Jews and white folks. A small percentage came from the newspaper and the selling them badges. And why that's significant, whoever controls your purse controls your organization. Whoever controls the building that you operate from controls your organization because they can dictate the terms. Without the finance, you cannot finance your program. To this day, many different organizations going through the same stages where the majority of their funds has come from the outside. Many organizations spend more time raising funds than they is serving the people. The scientific process is this. When you look at historical materialism, go back in history and study the Black Panther Party. Study it. And you see that they made that mistake. And many will tell you they made that mistake. That means you don't repeat the mistake because you have the information. Now that you have the information, you ask yourself, what do we do to avoid that mistake? How do we avoid that mistake? Do you stop accepting donations? No. Use the donation to start businesses, to invest in other things that are going to make and radiate more funds that's in your control. So if they do stop donating money to you, you have an income and resource that's constantly coming, and you ain't depending on them. But continue to accept the donation, but don't let that be your primary source. If that's your primary source, that source can dictate the terms no matter what you think or say. And if you look at history, not just with the Black Panther Party, many different organizations, where the majority of their sources came from the outside, even those organizations that still exist today, they trapped in a pigeonhole. They really can't really do too much because the funds come from the outside. How can you fight for independence when the oppressor control your purse? Don't make no sense. So when you look at science, it's like I use this chess analogy. And we have a habit to take a checkerboard to a chess game and wonder why we got checkmate in 5 moves. Because the oppressor is always thinking 10, 15, 20 years ahead. We thinking 1 month at a time, 1 day at a time. He already know what we're going to do. We have to take a chessboard to the chess game. That means we have to think. And that thinking is going to take a scientific process. When you make a decision, like on a chessboard, before you make that first move, you got to ask yourself, why did I make that move? What is the purpose of the move? First, you have to understand your goal and your objective. Your objective is a checkmate. That checkmate represents the development of institutions. Development of institutions that are designed to eradicate hunger and starvation from our community. An institution that is designed to educate our people. An institution that is designed to protect and defend our community. That is your checkmate. So how do I get there? What is my end game? What moves do I have to make to get there? So every piece represents part of that process. Your pawns in front, your major pieces in back. So every piece represents the development toward that ideal and concept. So that means you have to think every time before you move. So if you move that pawn up, why do you move that pawn up? What does that move have to do with accomplishing your final goal? There has to be a connection. A lot of times we don't think like that, and they know that. They know that. We don't think scientifically, and they beat the crap out of us every time because the revolution is a thinking game. If you outthink them, you'll win. Guarantee you. They stay ahead of us because they constantly, right now, they're thinking about 100 years from now, how can we keep these Negroes oppressed? They already know they already know what to do. And in that process, they're already anticipating rebellion and resistance. How do we suppress this resistance? How do we suppress this rebellion? There's a science to the struggle. Not because I say so, because it is. Understand, when you read Comrade George's book, because everybody be talking about George, then read his book. And the part when he speak on this natural progression, that natural progression he's speaking on is the scientific development, the stages of unity of purpose. What we mean by that is the first stage is the unity of struggles of opposites. The next stage is quantity to quality. The next stage is negation to negation. Then your final interpretation. That means those stages, before you get to your final interpretation, is sending the theory through a crucible. So wherever your idea was at first, you have to send it through a test. That's scientific. Because when you put that theory into a test, it can tell you if it's going to be viable or not. They're going to tell you how to make the necessary adjustment to go to the next stage of development. That is a scientific process, not because Abdu said so. It is inherent in life itself. The laws of motion exist no matter what you say, even if someone didn't put a word to it. If you throw something up in the air, it's going to come down, no matter what you say. That existed way before we got on this planet. So a lot of times people used to say, well, that's just Abdu talking. I said, okay, throw a baseball in there and see what happens. Okay, I didn't say that. It is what it is. Natural progression. Contradiction exists every day. The development to go forward is when you resolve those contradictions. Let's say in our community. In order for us to move forward, we have to stabilize our community. Simple as that. Let's say you have a brother or sister that can't read. In order for them to move forward, they got to learn how to read. Because that not reading is a contradiction to life, because how do you pursue or prevail in life when you can't read or write? So the response is to correct the contradiction is to create programs that would teach our brothers and sisters, our young people, how to read and write. Now you resolve that contradiction. Now how do they utilize the education in a society that is designed to oppress us, in a society that is designed to keep us down? That's another contradiction. You create your own institution. You create your own job. So you don't have to depend on the oppressors. Now you resolve that contradiction. What do we do with the resources from that business? It don't go into one man's pocket. That's where scientific socialism comes into play. And what we mean by this, if I open up a business in the community, the finance is going back to the community, not my own pocket. I'm going to get similar to what everybody else gets. But living in a capitalist society, they get $20 million and the workers get $20,000 a year. And most people in capitalist society don't see nothing wrong with that, because you have been brainwashed and transformed to a capital mentality. That's the psychology behind capitalism, fascism, imperialism. I see everything wrong with that. If the workers are working and I'm working with them on another level, why am I making $10, $15 million more than them? They earn just as much. But a capitalist don't think like that. Remember what a capitalist is. Remember what capitalism is. It exploits the labor of the working forces. And it promotes individualism, rugged individualism, meaning I don't give a damn about you. It's all about me. Kwanzaa got commercialized, and that's one thing we're trying to prevent from having Black August. Kwanzaa have been disfigured. If you look at the seven principles of Kwanzaa, and we truly believe in those principles, every year should be a different stage of our development. Because if you look at the principles of Kwanzaa, self-determination, collective work responsibility, cooperative economics, unity, what are we doing during the month of Kwanzaa, the 7 days really of Kwanzaa, that is working towards that accomplishment, other than wearing dashikis and lighting candles and reading history books and beating on drums? If you go into Kwanzaa every year the same way you came out, you haven't done nothing. Black August deals with progression. Whatever you did this month of Black August, remember, Black August is 365 days a year. The month of August is when we reaffirm our commitment. September the 1st, it doesn't change. The program that was developed during August continues to exist after August. You make necessary adjustments, but you continue to try to fast. You continue exercising. You continue to hold programs in the community and develop institutions in the community. It doesn't stop. Because then next year, August, you come out your progress report. Where am I at today that I wasn't last year? What developments have I made? Kwanzaa has been disfigured, and you have people right now trying to disfigure Black August. And they don't understand the importance of that. Because 20, 30 years from now, when Black August is no longer recognizable, they're going to blame COINTELPRO. They're going to blame white men. They're going to blame race. No. Look in the mirror. You to blame. Because you told not to follow the protocol. I ain't following the protocol. I don't get down who created it. Is the reason why there's protocol. So we've been through the crucible already. We fought and died for this. Me and my comrades, from George to the ones you got to have no knowledge of, spilled and shed blood for Black August. We have many comrades like myself who spent decades in solitary confinement isolation for Black August. And a lot of that through torture. And I'll give you another example. I was locked up in the dark so long my eyes turned blue. I was not born with blue eyes. But being in the dark so long, I lost my pigmentation. And me and the people that know my history, I've been tortured. Right before I got the hole, they tried to poison me. And then when you go through all this, and I caught life in prison for allegedly being involved in something that led to the death of a racist. These are the sacrifices we made, then we get out the hole, only have to find ourselves debating with others, telling us what Black August should and should not be. But people don't understand how, you know, like back in the days, I would have, okay, I see you when I see you then. You know, because too many of our people, too many of our comrades died for this, and you playing around. This is serious. People died for this. people suffer from this, even those of us who survived those decades of isolation. Though we survived didn't mean we didn't suffer. We suffered. I got the wounds all in my body to show that. We survived. So we take Black August serious. As the creators, the founders, the innovators, the cultivators, we take this serious. Many of our comrades died. Not just the one that you know about. Many of them died. Many of our comrades mentally no longer where they at now because of what they went through, Black August. And only to get, and like I said, due to the class action lawsuit and the hunger strike, we was able to get out the hole. So now they're letting a lot of us out the hole and letting a lot of us on the street. That's why we're making this effort now to get Black August back on the right track and to control the narrative, you know? And for many of us, even to get out the hole, it almost took our life. We did a 60-day hunger strike. I got a permanent damaged heart. I ain't listening to no outside about no Black August. We gave up too much. Let me tell you what Black August is about. I've been there over 40 years straight, you know? So that's why it's important, you know? It's a science. And science deals with historical materialism. That means you're dealing with the study and science of the past and the path it took to get to where you're at right now. That information is critical towards developing any type of plan of action. And I show people this here. And again, when you lack the political maturity, you lack the ability or capacity to accept constructive criticism for what it is. I told one comrade, and he's a pastor. I said, check it out, man. We have to go beyond just passing our food. We have to create our own institution that is dedicated toward developing our own Department of Agriculture. He blow up. Man, you trying to tell me we ain't doing right? I didn't say that. You said that. Let me say this again. We have to develop institutions that are going to allow us to feed our own people without depending on the oppressor. Man, see, you ain't listening. You only listen with your heart now because you think somebody is condemning you for what you're doing. You lack that political maturity to accept constructive criticism for what it is because now your ego is involved, and your ego should never be involved. That's why when the comrade asked me to talk about myself at the beginning, I said no. Because it's not about me. See, when people make it about themselves, the ego's involved. So when you do try to criticize the program, they take it as a personal attack on them. That's all they see. As a revolutionary, we understand this. It's not about me. So if you can come and tell me, hey, Abdul, this program needs some work. Okay, show me. And let's make it work together. Now, let's look at this here. We're fighting for independence. We're fighting for a complete separation from our oppressors. We're not going to rely on our oppressors to feed us. So what I told the brothers this here, that bag of groceries you got right now that you got about to pass out, dump it out on the table. He dumped it out on the table. I said, identify one item on that table that was grew from a Black farm. Identify one package that was developed by a Black manufacturer. He said, none. How is this independence then? Do we have to do it right now? Yes. Because of what's going on in this society, we have to use this method to feed our people, along with community gardens. So I'm not knocking that. We're supposed to do that and keep on doing that. But that's just one stage. And this is what I mean by we don't think ahead. We need to consolidate these Black farmers and buy more land so we can have our own Department of Agriculture. So when you dump that bag out next time, every item of food in there was made, grown, developed, cultivated by us. The packages developed by us. That's where we also can guarantee safe food, affordable food, because we're not trying to break the back of our people. He still didn't get that. All right, bro. That's on you. I'm not going to debate and argue with you, man. No. So that's the scientific process that I speak on. All right, Bumani.
Okay. I'll let you
which is your platform as well. I know the shattered knowledge you understand. Thank you for the fact that you're made in the past, present, and the future, right? And at this time, open the line for a true call. You want to talk? You want to have something to say? A question or a statement? Please press one. Open over this line. 678-368. Your line is open. You have any person? You haven't got any question, comment, or statement you make? You'll do so at this time. 678-368. Your line is open. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes. What's up? Free the land. Free the land. All praise to the Most High. What an honor. What an honor to be sure indeed. My two favorite brothers, you know, I'm nothing but humble. You know, you guys are royal. You're royal.
Okay, Mama Pearl. Excellent.
Yes, this is Mama Pearl.
That's an honor.
Oh, Mama Pearl.
I've learned a lot, you know. I am going to use my ego for once and say that I called my brother and you came and you clarified about the Black August. Because when I was posting it, people would come to me, well, what is this all about? And I'm like, hold up now, wait a minute now. I'm not, you know, authorized to explain this. Let me holler. And you came, and wow, I've learned a lot. Thank you so much. You laid it right out, you know, and what an honor. What an honor.
Thank you, sis.
Thank you,
Mama Pearl. We appreciate it. I said thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Relax. Okay. I got another call up and open up line for 760-409. Your line is open. You ain't question time or statement. Please do it at time. 760-409. Your line is open.
Where's your ghosty Salama?
Where's your ghosty Salama?
Where's your Salama? This is Salama.
Right. Beloved, I mean, I can't say nothing other than I'm really proud. Your articulation of everything which just occurred. I do want to reinforce some of the things that you shared. And if I can, there's several things I'd like to read. If that's
yes.
possible. Okay. First, when you made reference to the fact that you're not taking anything away from the Panthers, and that you know the comrade wasn't co-opted by those inside, I'm gonna make reference to a statement from him in Blood My Eye.
Yes.
I met Marx, Lenin, Trotsky, Engels, and Mao. And they redeemed me. For the first 4 years, I studied nothing but economics and military ideas. I met the Black Gorillas, George Big Jake Lewis, and James Carr, W.C. Nolan, or it's actually W.L. Nolan, Bill Christmas, Tony Gibson, and many others. We attempted to transform the Black criminal mentality into a Black revolutionary mentality. Now, he doesn't say that we attempted to transform them into Black Panthers. He refers to the Black Gorillas. So that reinforces
exactly.
the statement you made earlier. And you can
exactly.
find that in the preface of Blood in My Eye.
Yes.
Now, when I exited San Quentin in 1982,
yes.
I went to L.A. to check in with the parole agent. Came right back up to the Bay Area because
yep.
Black August Organizing Committee was the political arm that was developing, and it was within that context that we began to do work.
Yep.
Now, this is by controlling the narrative. Then you mentioned something about Ugo Pinero Yogi being Black. There's a statement that Yogi writes. It's pretty extensive, so I'm not going to read that. I'm just going to read the end of it. There's a statement he writes in 1969 from Soledad Central, and he makes reference to the murder that took place on Owens Yard when comrades W.L. Nolan, Cleveland Edwards, and Alvin Sweet Judge Miller were assassinated. He closes out this statement with, "I speak on behalf of all Blacks who know and understand the meaning of being Black and in prison. If it wasn't for those killings of W.L. Nolan, Edwards, and Miller, I would have never sat down to write this. But if my people keep on getting killed in this fashion, what is the sense in me living when their heart is also my beat?"
Yeah.
he's addressing us to all blacks.
Yes.
And he's making reference to himself as being black.
Yes.
All right. You spoke of Donald Evans. Donald Evans is in his 90s and is still
yes.
struggling.
Yes.
Your reference to being in terms of resources.
Yes.
One of the things that we have to do in terms of controlling this is about controlling the narrative. One of the things that we have to do is become self-sufficient. Now,
exactly.
Everybody, well, a lot of people have tried to rip off black, always claiming for their own, everything that you talked about, everything
yeah.
that you articulated. And one of the things we have to do in terms of resources, we have comrades that are producing T-shirts. We have you
yeah.
and other comrades that are producing artwork and also producing other commodities.
Yeah.
In order to support that, in order to establish that as something that grows out of Black Orgs, out of BAOC, we have to develop those brands. You
yeah.
know, and so people know that this, like, you know, you got, say, for example, with Nike. Everybody do a carbon copy of Nike and ripping off Nike and claiming
yeah.
as their own. You know, so they're going to do that with Black August. They've done that with Black August. Last year,
yeah.
CNN did an extensive piece that was actually pretty good, but it wasn't coming from someone who was a part of creation of Black August.
Yeah.
You know, they interviewed someone who was popular and not taking anything away from the sister who was popular, but she wasn't part of the formation and the creation of Black August. So
yeah.
all she could do is talk about what was created, you know, and it was pretty accurate. But
yeah.
everybody, then you had all these politicians, and you got, even this year, everybody wanted a piece of Black August.
Yeah.
So with the shirts, last year I had to talk to some brothers who were creating these shirts that wasn't even associated with Black August. But they were saying we having a sale on Black August sale. So after talking to them, I convinced them that it was in their best interest to discontinue that using Black August as a means of promoting their sales. And,
yeah.
you know, but that happens everywhere. We can't control everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
But if we build our brand, then people will know that these are knockoffs. This is not part of something that, not only are we creating them, but it goes back into the resources to build and become self, be independent.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to read two statements that was written. One was written last year after Black Lives Matter put out a piece on Black August, and it wasn't reflective of those that created it. And the sister and I, who was, and I'm not going to mention names right now, but the sister and I talked, she understood that, so she asked me to prepare a statement. So there was a collective statement that was put together that included representatives from Black August Los Angeles and Black August Organizing Committee, the leadership of it. Okay, this is the statement that was put together that was going out on the listserv. The month of August is historically abundant in epic moments of African strife, conflict, accomplishments, and resistance. As such, its importance should be embraced, acknowledged, documented, and shared across the globe. Those who respect, admire, and practice the tradition of Black August should embrace the core purpose of its creation, to honor fallen comrades within California gulags, and rededicate our commitment to African liberation, established and consummated by the Black August Resistance Collective. We support the inclusion and promotion of all significant and noteworthy African historical events occurring during the month of August as part of the Black August legacy. Ownership of this legacy belongs to African people, but with that ownership comes the responsibility to maintain the integrity of the sacred tenets of its origin and the connection to those who created it, and understanding the political development of the cadre behind the walls until the new man has come at the cost of freedom and loss of lives.
Yeah.
Black August, beyond the primary purpose for development, is a time for reflection on past, present, and future struggles for the liberation of African people in solidarity with other righteous struggles of oppressed people across the globe. It is not a C celebration or S celebration.
Yeah.
As recently embraced, popularized, and encapsulated by Black Lives Matter LA, fast, study, train, and fight is part of the core practice. Maintaining a personal journey to document your daily activity will help you gauge your capacity to endure the most arduous part of this practice and strengthen your determination to be successful and disciplined. Black August Resistant Collective. This puts a face on those that created.
Yeah.
Now, this last statement that I'll make and then I'll close out was created this year, which goes out into Black Lives Matter's global network. And if it hasn't been out yet, it will be going out soon. Black August Resistance Collective, under the leadership of Black August Organizing Committee and its affiliate, Black August Los Angeles, welcome the invitation from Black Lives Matter. You know what? I need to, okay, I'm going to read this, but this is not actually the statement that's going out. And I say that because it's going to a global network, and this one was revised. And I didn't bring up the revision. Let me see if I can bring that up real quick, if I can. Because this is not the original. I mean, this wasn't the final version. Let me see if this is the final version. My apologies. No, it's not the final version. Cameron, can you come back to me? Because I want to share that statement, but I have to locate it, the final version of it.
Okay. I can come back to you, yeah. I can come back to you, yeah. I'm over there. I can come back to you, yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to open another line right quick. I can come back to you, though.
All right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Shalewa. Okay, the next line open is 443-8040. Your line is open. You got any questions, comments, statement to make? Use it at the time. 443-8040. Your line is open. 443-8040. Your line is open. Okay. Conrad's on live. He can't hear me. He's in live here. He can't. Okay. 909-471. Your line is open. If you have any questions, comments, statements. 909-471. Your line is open.
This is McKinney. I just want to say Black August greetings.
Dave. Where's the Lamu, sir?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Where's it go to the Lamu, sir?
Yeah, you did us,
Santa. Santa, I appreciate that, sis.
Right on.
Great. McKinney.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, hey, but you know, hey, another thing I want to add too, right, is this here, because this is important too. I explained this to somebody before on another radio show. There's only one Black Gorilla family. You have those who have hijacked that as well. And I tell people, you don't judge the Black Gorilla family by a dope fiend or a dope dealer. That's totally 100% against our organization. It's clearly in our Constitution that we don't use drugs or sell drugs. That's excluding weed, marijuana. But hard drugs, never. So you have an individual that be standing on the corner selling dope and he calls himself a BGF, that's not true. Once you make that decision to go against the Constitution, you can call yourself whatever the hell you want to call yourself. You ain't that. George, Qatari, and the other comrades did not die for drug selling. They did not die for drug use. You see what I'm saying? So a lot of time, same way with Black August, you have those who hijacked the Black Gorilla family name. You know? And what you see now, is, and that's important because we are the source of Black August. And you may have some people say, wait, man, I ain't, oh, hell no, they a bunch of drug dealers. No, we're not a bunch of drug dealers. You judge the black family, black brother family by those who have upheld the Constitution, for those who have continued to fight and die for what is right as it relates to the black brother family. We are the reflection of George. We are the reflection of Qatar and W.L., Howard Toll, William Christmas. We are that reflection. You know, if an individual selling drugs, he cannot possibly love Comrade George or Qatari. It cannot happen if he's out there selling drugs. If he's using drugs, we need to help him then. That's a different area. We need to help him rid himself of that poison. But if a comrade's out there selling drugs and victimizing the community, he's no longer a BGF, period. I don't care what he calls himself. So we have a constitution. We have protocols that define who we are. That's like if you say you're Muslim, but you're going to church every Sunday. There's a contradiction in that. If you're Muslim, there's certain things you do as a Muslim. Same way with BGF. A certain way we live. We have protocols, rules, tenets that you have to live by that define you as what a black brother family member is. If you do not reflect those qualities, I don't care what you call yourself. You ain't that. You black monkey family. You're not the black gorilla family. I just need to get that out there. And the black monkey family ain't part of black gorilla family.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I can dig that. We can dig that. We understand where he's coming from. Okay. I'm about to open the L2 line back up and see if you don't find it. Open the line back up.
Okay.
I'm finding the information right quick. Okay.
Jumbo,
okay, go ahead.
Jumbo. This is the final version, but I don't think it's went out yet, and I'm going to add to this version if they haven't sent it out. I'll find out from her, because the initial version that was done, the sister asked me, could other people be added to it to make it more national? And that was agreed upon, but I think that there should be others from California that need to be added to this piece, and I'll talk about when I get to that section. All right, comrades in righteous struggle. Black August Resistant Collective, under the leadership of Black August Organizing Committee and its affiliate, Black August Los Angeles, welcome the invitation for Black Lives Matter to share this space commemorating fallen comrades within California and the nation's gulag. Entering our 42nd year commemoration, which also marks the 50-year brutal assassination of Comrade George Lester Jackson by California prison guards, we remain steadfast in our commitment to enhance political study, resolute in fasting and training, and relentless in fighting for the liberation of African people. We welcome the collaboration with Black Lives Matter in keeping this tradition and spirit of resistance alive. Either we win or we don't lose. Long live the indomitable spirits of W.L. Nolan, George L. Jackson, Alvin Miller, Jeffrey Joker Qatari Garden, Jonathan P. Jackson, Adama Cambone, Cleveland Edwards, Maya Muna McKinney, James McClain, William Moses Mutamata Johnson, Fleeta Drumgo, William Christmas, Warren Fela Jordan, Romaine Chester Gerald, and the multitude of Africans, both domestically and globally, who have tragically been victims of systemic racism in America. For more on Black August, please visit Bala Black August Los Angeles Facebook, at Black August Los Angeles IG, BAOC, BlackAugustResistance.com, Black August Resistance Facebook. Sign and share the petitions to free Rochelle McGee, bring Suniata home, free Mumia, free MOVE members, free Mutulu, and hands off Sasha Kula. In that section, I need to add and want to add free Abdul Shakur, and free a lot of other comrades that I'm going to tell her to include in there. Freedom for all political prisons and prisons of righteous war for liberation. Free them all, Black August Resistance Collective. So that'll go out on the global network, which is 2 million strong.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes, sir.
And that's part of taking control of the narrative, you know?
Most definitely.
Yeah, and that's something, again, you know, like I tell some of the sisters and brothers, like, you know, we understand how Black Hawks got off track. You know, we understand that because a lot of people did not have direct contact with us either on the streets or in prison. So we understand that. It's just a matter of recommitting ourselves to making that corrections. And that's all we're saying. There's a proper way. Because if you don't enforce the protocols, 20, 30 years from now, Black August is no longer going to look like Black August. It's going to be something else. I had a sister who tried to tell me that we should commemorate Barack Obama. I damn it cussed out. I said, hey, sister, I got to go. You tripping. I had to hang up the phone. And she talking about Obama. You know, so I mean, but again, I had to call her back because that was an emotional response, but I did call her back. And, you know, I told sis, this is not about promoting capitalism or the forces that are responsible for oppression. This is about overthrowing those forces. And Obama represents that force. He was a puppet for this capitalist fascist system. How do you commemorate someone who worked for our enemy? He don't work for us. He was part of that very system. But he did things for blacks. Well, you're going to find a whole lot of people that do things for blacks, but you got to understand the system. And I explained this to her. If I come with you with a cup of poison and you drink it, you're going to regurgitate it. You're never going to support me because you regurgitated this poison I gave you. But I give you some Kool-Aid, you're going to drink it. But not realizing that Kool-Aid, there's something else in there. And you can keep on drinking my Kool-Aid. When you keep on drinking my Kool-Aid, now you think I'm the sweet man. But not realizing I just manipulated your process. And that's what they do. They have to do certain things in order for us to believe in that system. If they just continue to, again, that's the scientific process I was talking about. When you look at shadow slavery evolved to another form of oppression because shadow slavery had exhausted its usefulness, so it's continuing to evolve. So what was working in the 1700s, 1800s no longer working now, and they understand that. They had to put a different face on it, but they still maintain that status quo. So, you know, and that's why it's important for people to understand that because these individuals, you got to remember, their institution is corrupt. So if you become a mayor, a governor, with the exception of Baba Tshwekwe Lumumba, because he did something different. When Baba Tshwekwe Lumumba won the mayorship in Jackson, Mississippi, he brought the whole New African crew with him. Everyone that came was from the New African Independence Movement, and he was putting them in place. It was easy to deal with Jackson because it was 85 to 87% New African. So that was a different issue there. But when you're part of this institution and you believe in the protocols and principles of the institution, you're just a puppet for the institution. You're just a face. And I don't care who get in office, Obama, whoever, you're a puppet for them. You don't control nothing. So I'm not going to commemorate this clown.
True, indeed.
He ain't got nothing to do with our liberation. He's not fighting for our liberation. He continue to fight for our oppression. Well, I'm like, yeah, okay, you Negro, big-eared motherfucker, okay, I got you. Nah, we fighting to overthrow this junk. You know, but it's going to start here. In order for us to be effective in this revolution, we have to stabilize our community. We have to create our own institutions to serve our needs. We have to be able to feed our community, house our community, employ the unemployed. We have to do that. One thing people don't understand about the party platform was not just program. It was a blueprint towards building institutions. That's where it would have got if the demise didn't take place. When you say free breakfast program, it was going to be more than just free breakfast program. It was the basic principle of feeding ourselves, developing the necessary institution. And that's what we need to do right now. We have to stabilize our community because our community is our power base. This community is by which we're going to organize from. And another thing I want to speak on that's real quick, right? I was talking to a couple of brothers that, you know, they say they prepare and the revolution, they got it in their hands. So I asked one of the brothers, do you have the technology to bring that drone out the sky? He said, no. I said, do you have the technology to stop the power from going off? He said, no. Do you control the flow of water in our community? He said, no. Then he said, what does that have to do with the revolution? I said, check this out, brother. In order for you to fight a revolution, you must understand the strategy and tactics of your enemy. Have you ever read and studied the insurrection of that? He said, no. Okay, one of the things they're going to do, they can cut off the water. They can cut off the power. Why do you think they're doing that for? They're trying to get the people to turn against you. Because now they can't drink or eat. And you have yet to develop the resources that will allow you to feed your community, provide them with water. The power's out. Do you have another power source? The drones is new technology now. You had to worry about troops coming in the community. They were using drones to blow up our food sources. They were using drones to attack specific targets. If you can't stop that, get the revolution out your mouth because you're not prepared for it. like Chairman Mao said, don't fight a battle if you're not prepared to fight. That's relevant in preparing our community for revolution. If not, you're going to lead them to the destruction. If you're serious about fighting for our people, protecting our people, you have to understand, you have to arm them with everything they need to have and know to be successful in this process. Where is our black scientists to develop our own drone system? Where is our institution where if the water do go off, we will be able to provide water, not just water bottles, but water to our community? That went because the people are going to believe in you. The people are going to say, okay, this is what self-government looks like. They're going to support you when you provide them with them needs. And another thing I explained to them, one thing you have to understand, if I control your water, I can put, and this is one of their documents, I can put a strong laxative in the water. He started laughing. Why didn't we put a laxative in the water? Because the majority of people that drink that water are going to be too busy shitting to fight. And when you get dehydrated, understand the process of dehydration. Your ass can be laying on the floor, shitting water out your butt. Why they coming in to fight? They have disabled every one of you. And them stores in the community that they can identify, they're going to blow them up with the drone. Destroy the food source. One of the objectives is to get the people to turn against you. So if when you out to fight, you can't run to a safe house because the community will say, nah, 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 because you let them down because you was not prepared. And that's all I was trying to explain to this brother. But again, he had his ego out there, and he got all upset. I said, all right, man, I'm gone. But then understand, this is what you have to do. You have to prepare the community. That's first and foremost. We're not going to win freedom in our time. That's not going to happen in our time. We provide the future generation with a blueprint to work from. They will make their decision on how they utilize that power, how they utilize that technology that we leave behind. But we have to focus on building our community. That's what we have to focus on.
Parsa, Elder.
If we don't stabilize that community, we're in trouble.
Yes, sir. I want to let the elder get in right quick. And the elder want to get in, man. Open line right quick. She want to get in. Okay. 562-212, your line is open. If you have a question, comment, statement, please, is with your time. Your line is open.
Harambe, brothers and listeners. This is powerful. This is
Harambe.
Okay.
You brought it together, Harambe. You brought it together. There are some things, but that's something we need to talk over. Everything was proficient. It was wonderful. The representation, the way you brought in, how the brothers gathered and collectively pulled this all together. I'm impressed. I'm proud. I'm proud. Very proud.
Asante. Yeah.
Ashe.
Okay.
I
appreciate
love
that. Just appreciate that.
On the call. Yes.
Yes, ma'am. We appreciate that, Mama's car. We appreciate that.
Sale.
Okay. Okay. Your line still open too, Elder Duke. Your line still open too. I know we got about 16 minutes left. Anyway, your line still open as well.
Yeah. The point you made about the party, basically. David Hilliard was the connection with George. Elaine didn't come about till the late 70s, till the 70s.
Exactly.
Most of the people that were in Central Committee had been a part or had something to do with prison, like Eldridge and a few others. A lot of the brothers in the party weren't just military or college or community. And the thing,
yes,
you're right, the party was political. It was political representation. And everything else was just to support and to build that structure.
Yeah.
You focus well.
And again, the thing is, people have to understand how history can help us build for the future. The Panther Party laid down some perfect example for us. They laid down a blueprint. You know, for us to repeat the same thing they did, we don't understand science. Because a lot of things they did didn't work, and they'd be the first one to tell you, that didn't work, so why are you repeating the same thing that didn't work 60, 70 years ago? What it tells you is that you have to take what we did and make the necessary adjustment to fit the condition that exists right now. Concrete analysis of the concrete conditions. That means any ideas and concept that you develop must be based on a concrete analysis of the condition that exists today, not 200 years ago. But you use that historical materialism aspect to understand the history, to understand what did win, what did lose, what was effective, and assess your strengths and weaknesses accordingly and develop one that's based on the concrete condition that exists today.
I see.
Bomani? Bomani?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
oh,
I'm still here, man.
I thought you turned yourself off.
No,
yeah,
I can't do that, Conrad.
It's the community against the party. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and again,
but not
one
totally,
thing people understand.
Not totally.
Nah, you know, and the thing, constructive criticism is designed to correct what is wrong.
Truly.
It's not designed to destroy. And again, you cannot listen to constructive criticism with your heart or your ego. You can't, because you'll never be able to fully understand or appreciate constructive criticism.
Yeah, you have to make
sure.
True, indeed.
Yeah. And I tell people every day, go ahead, Bomani.
You know, Monica made an important point when she spoke about David Hillier, right? In regards to the connection to the prison movement. You know, that actually was a very important point, right? And then another point to add was that later on when Flores Forbes came to the prison system, he had that connection as well. And then you look at a lot of the old Black Panther journals, newspaper, they talked about certain things in regard to certain formation that was in the prison at that time, like the Black Militant Front, et cetera, right? That was, you know, very important historically.
And then when you look at Bunchy Carter, Elijah Cleaver,
they knew
W.L. Noah. They knew William Christie. They knew Tony Gibson. They knew Big J. They knew Death Row Jeff. They knew Ulysses Daniels. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
When Bunchy was in Solidarity.
Black Gorilla Family.
He was
real.
Yes. They knew all that, right? So I'm saying when they got out, they already had this information. See, another thing people don't know is that when you look at the Seminole Liberation Army, a lot of people don't know that we once started the Seminole Liberation Army. That original idea came from Howard Toll. The original idea came from Howard Toll. When CQ left Solidad, he went to the streets and started the SLA. He was also a comrade.
Yep.
So all this information is relevant towards history and understanding, you know. And again, this is we so far. I mean, you know, the movement have been crippled, and one of the things we trying to do is correct that, because from a mental standpoint, we don't understand the scientific aspect of struggle or the revolution. The revolution takes place in stages. We're not going to win independence today or next 10, 15 years. If we can't govern our own community, we're not going to be able to govern our own nation. The community is our testing ground. What does self-government look like? How do we build necessary institutions that can serve the needs of our people? If we can't build an institution, the people are not going to support this government.
Right.
We have to provide them with them day-to-day services. You know, if they pick up the phone and somebody burglarized their house or sister's being attacked, who are they going to call? They're going to call the police, the enemy. Because we have not provided them with a service where they can call us and say, hey, somebody's beating on me. And we can get to that house and crack his neck open. You know? Where is our number at? Where is our 276? Call 276. Don't call 911. You know? But how do you, I mean, so I'm saying these are things we have to look at. You know? Our community, if we want to speak about self-government, where is my government? Where is it at? If I'm under attack or if I'm unemployed or if I'm hungry, I need to eat, what are you going to do for me? We can't say, well, 30 years from now, this is what we're going to do. No, what you going to do for me right now? Because you can't govern me now. You ain't going to govern me 30, 50 years from now either. So this is a testing ground for our people's government. This is a testing ground for the provisional government right now. And it can be done. It's not going to be easy, but it can be done. Laying down the proper blueprint, it can be done. You know, one of the things I was, right now, I'm supposed to be talking to a brother, and I've been busy, but he's a trucker, and he is willing to move food from black farmers to certain areas, you know? And those are the things that we have to do, consolidate the black farmers, get these truckers to work with us, where we can transport food from one place to another. And another thing I want to say is, many of our comrades, the McKinney's one and others, they launched one of the biggest food drives ever. In Southern California, they did, you know. But a lot of people don't know about that, you know. So, but that's something that we did down there. It can be done. Hey, Bomani. Bomani.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Is G2 back? Is G2 back?
Yeah. G2, he's still on the line. Yes, he got like 8 minutes left, but he be still on line. He's still on line. We got about 8 minutes left anyway, right? But he's still on line, though.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I'm here.
You had nothing else to add?
No, I mean, you've done a really good job of, like I said earlier, of articulating a lot of points that need to be put out there. So, you know, you covered a lot of bases. You know, the comments I made was just to reinforce some of the things that you shared.
Yeah. And one of the things I try to emphasize, too, is that I let people know that Black August is 365 days a year.
That
31 day is a reinforcement of what we've done all year, made for self-development or community development. When we come through Black August, it's just a reformation of all that we've done for the whole year. You don't stop fasting and exercising at September the 1st. You continue to do it. You have to modify it because you know you're going to work, school, whatever, but you continue to do that. So when the next August comes, you have your journal that charts your course of development. You can say, okay, this is where I'm at today. You know, this is a functional breathing process. You know, and if you're not growing, then something is not right. You know, and we have to be a disciplined people to win our oppression. And Black August is the very tool that will be used to discipline our people in the necessary way to get victory. Because an undisciplined force is not going to win against a disciplined force at all. And the government understand that. That's why they were so hard on trying to smash Black August. And they continue to do so. But it's too late now. Too late.
Not only are they trying to smash Black August, not only are they trying to smash Black August, but they also are trying to kill. They took the body of physical form of a lot of comrades, but they haven't been able to kill their spirit. You know, one of the things that Chairman Fred Hampton stated was that you can kill the revolutionary, but you can't kill the revolution. And
exactly.
So it's about the individual, but it's not about the individuals. You know, these individuals stand out because of the sacrifices they've made, but this revolution continues. And it'll continue beyond our existence, our physical existence.
Exactly. Yeah. And when even when you look, Nat Turner is in all of us. Harry Tubman's in all of us. Robert Williams in all of us. Marcus Garvey's in all of us. The spirit continues. And every time we continue to struggle and fight along them lines, we're also a reflection of them as well. We're a reflection of George, Katari, Yogi, William Christmas, Howard Toe. We're a reflection of them as well in everything that we do.
So, we got 5 minutes left on the show, man. What are your final thoughts? What you want to leave it with?
Oh, I left my thought. The elder and Mama, they can say that. That's my last thought right there.
Okay. Well, that's what's up, then. What you gonna leave with Elder G2 and Mama Shakara? What you gonna leave it with?
Elder brother got.
I'll let the queen go first.
I think you got it. Other than to say that Katari lives on through all of us. George, Johnson, represent you guys. I am just overwhelmed, and it's very filling. It's very filling to hear this and come together, especially at a point where it improves things. Ashe.
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 I like the directors to IU, you know, to carry on that tradition, understand and learn from this and build from it, because y'all are our future.
Exactly.
Can't stop, won't stop.
That's it.
Okay. Again, I like thank you all for joining our dialogue, our conversation, participating in political education piece. Thank you all for the sacrifice y'all committed in the past, present, and future. If anybody has any comrade, little one, social media, enemy line, please look into our website at www.georgetownuniversity.com. Again, it's www.georgetownuniversity.com. Long live the resistance, long live the African movement, and long live the guerrilla. Where is the Ghost of Lamu?
There's the Ghost of Lamu.
Thank you.